Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. Whew, what a week it's been. I tell you, everybody at home in Stockton thinks that the Stockton City Council is a reality show because it's turning into one. You know, we're fighting the good fight. It's so sad that we have to fight with people that we actually liked and still like. You know, I mean, it's not one of these things where I can just hate somebody because we disagree. But, you know, I will say, you know, being an elected official is really hard because it does require you to really work at working with people. Mm-hmm. Unlike a business where you run your business, it is what it is. And when you look at what's happening in the country, boy, I tell you, I'm exhausted. I forgot this past special council meeting we had that went left, that it's Mercury retrograde. If I would have remembered that, I probably would have been like, okay, this is why this is happening. A funny conversation, I was talking to Andrew and I go, my assistant, I said, Stockton politics is hard. You know, do you remember when life wasn't like this? And he goes, I said, Stockton politics is hard. Do you remember what life was like before this? He said, yeah, Kanye. I said, oh, shit.
I saw that post, the conversations with my assistant. I thought it was hilarious.
But it's been just true. Do you remember the Kanye era?
I do. I absolutely do.
Do you remember him just when he would call and just be in his moment?
That was a lot of stress for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I didn't have to directly deal with it as much as you did, but I saw how much stress that was on you.
Is the Stockton politics stressful for you?
No, because I feel like I'm a little bit of a step away from that, because while you're dealing with all of that, I'm heavily focused on Hollywood Unlocked. But yeah, it's interesting to watch.
How does Hollywood Unlocked spill over into your personal life?
Okay. I know what you're pointing at. We're not going to go there.
You know, Hollywood Unlocked really is a lovable platform, but some people just don't like the stories, and I get it. Like, I am attached to Hollywood Unlocked. No matter what I do, I'm never going to be unattached to it, so I own it. But Rob, you know, he's not the face of Hollywood Unlocked, but being behind it and the engine of it and being on this show, you know he's out there in the world and running into people who may not necessarily be a fan, right?
Correct.
But that's okay. Let me just tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love you all, and the views expressed by me and my platform don't necessarily always reflect on Rob. All right, listen, also, if you're in California, I just want to put this out there. I did endorse Fiona Ma for lieutenant governor. Let me give her a round of applause, because she's been taking me to different meetings and with different people who are providing great service to people in the state. Get involved in your local and state and federal politics, because what is happening is insane in this country. Are you exhausted with politics?
I secretly love politics, but I am getting exhausted at this point. It's like, it's a little bit overwhelming, but I do love it. But it's crazy.
But why is it every day? Every day.
Because
something.
I don't think we've existed in this environment until Trump took office, where we're constantly having a president like using social media to complain and just send out craziness every day. So it's kind of became the new norm with him. And then we had a break when Biden was in office, and now we're back at it again. So,
well, and what Trump is doing is, I guess what I'm doing in Stockton is they're annoyed by my social media, because I do talk all day. So maybe I shouldn't be doing that.
No, I think it's great if you use it in the right way. Like, you're not putting misinformation and disinformation out on your social media platforms. You're using your platforms to bring awareness to things that concern you. But like, for example, like in Stockton, I really do believe like the council has kind of lost sight of what they were elected for, and now it's become focused on you as opposed to governing for the people in the city, which is crazy.
The other night, things went left when we were talking about a specific agenda item, and one of my colleagues just kept pressing me and bullying me. And I feel so bad that I gave in. I don't regret it, because sometimes I have to show people that I am human, but I did lose my cool for a quick moment. And of course, I have it right here to show you. Take a look.
The truth is, what we are dealing with tonight isn't about transparency or accountability. It's about one person, Council Member Jason Lee, and on his ongoing mission to defame, to slander, and to tear down the reputation of our former interim city manager. That's what it is and has been about from day one. And I'm fortunate because instead of doing the work of the people, fixing streets, improving neighborhoods, supporting real community projects, we end up spending our time putting on these congressional styling hearings where Councilmember Lee is the main attraction and star of the show. He's turning the city hall into a reality show. And I'll tell you straight up, I don't support
that. Can you pause the time, please? Please make sure that you stick to the comments regarding this agenda item. Thank you.
Well, I don't disrespect towards the mayor, towards the city staff, and towards the entire process has to stop. It's the waste of everyone's time and energy. On top of that, he has disrespected his fellow council members and the taxpayers of Stockton by threatening.
Point of order. We're talking about a misuse.
Excuse me. First of all, you need to reference your point of order. And those in the audience, please know that I went over the proper decorum 4.06.
So point of order requires which, you to acknowledge
I need to
my
know
point
which,
of order. That's what
which item.
Rosenberg's rules of order requires you to acknowledge
yes.
my motion, my
hear
point
it.
Of order.
So which item?
Okay, so my point of order is this is not a kangaroo court to talk about
no,
me. It's to talk about the agenda. Hold on, Mayor, let me finish my point of order. Okay.
You need to cite
no, let me finish.
I have
you
mic,
let
still.
Me finish the
and
point of order. See, the problem is my point of order is that the collusion to cover up the discussion is quite frustrating. The public is watching. So let me state my point of order. Okay, the point of order is that this is not about a reality show, my platform, my followers, all of which you all use to get in office. This is about the item right here in front of us, in front of the public, that most of you did not show up for, and it is for a special meeting-led discussion regarding potential charter violations, abuse of authority, and possible misuse of public funds, direction to staff on next steps, and possible referrals to relevant agencies. What I'm hearing, instead of there being questions around the packet that's been presented, is I've heard all of you show up as his defense attorneys when we're talking about their taxpayer dollars that we're all responsible for managing and overseeing. So my point of order is the discussion should be relevant to the subject matter, and it is not a personal attack. What's becoming personal is the cover-up that's happening up here on this dais in front of us.
I hear your point of order.
So keep it on the subject matter.
Okay, so in the future, please provide which Rosenberg rule that you are referencing.
In the future, lead the meeting under the rules that you established.
We are.
Okay.
But if you're going to point of order.
Mayor, I don't have an intention to go back and forth with you to make this a zoo. Go ahead and focus on the matter in front of the public. Let's deal with this matter. We have a letter here to the state saying that
Councilmember Villa-Pudua. Councilmember Villa-Pudua. The floor is yours for the 243.
Before I got all this, okay. So this project that will bring over 100 units of housing to the district that I represent, if that means that the city partners with a proven nonprofit that's been doing work in this community for decades. And if that partnership ends up costing $200,000, even $300,000, I gladly support it because it's something that truly benefits our residents. There's no fraud here. There's no money has been exchanged. No commitment by the city has even been realized. And at the difference between what's happening here tonight and what if we've been forced to deal because of council members' actions, let's be honest, the only reason Councilman Lee is kicking and screaming and yelling right now is because of his own conflict of his nonprofit. The one he founded and still leads was a night access of $58 million in public funds.
Please pause the time.
What is the relevance?
He's talking
okay,
about
Okay, do you want to talk
chip.
About you molesting your niece?
What, let's out of order.
About.
Out of order.
What do you
out
want
of
to
order.
Talk about?
We will call
talk
for a recess. I'm calling for an immediate
Brando
recess.
Let's talk about
Please
it.
Turn off the
let's
microphone.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, and these allegations
allegedly
of impropriety between the councilman and his family member is something that's been in the report in the news. I don't know that to be fact or true. I'm just saying what's out there. But I still shouldn't take low blows. Pause. I still shouldn't. Should I? I mean, sometimes you got to do a gut check, right? Anyway, you know, they're claiming that I'm a bully with my platform, but it's the same platform they got everybody elected. So,
period.
You know, I can't apologize for being wildly successful. But I am going to work harder at, you know, continuing to try, because at the end of the day, I always say politics is like math. It's addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division. So, you know, I'm always open. Then he came back and said, "You love little boys too," after I called him a pedophile or whatever. And listen, I feel bad about calling him a pedophile. These are just news stories that I'm reading out there. I guess I should feel bad for his victim too. But, you know, there goes the whole gays pedophile thing. It's like the easiest thing. If you're going to call me anything, well, you can't call me fat no more, and you can't call me broke. I guess pedophile is all you have, drug addict, whatever. But anyway, I did reach out to the mayor because, first of all, I thought she looked nice. She did her best. I'm going to give you, Christina Fugazi, I'm going to give you a round of applause because you did manage that meeting. You got a lot of personalities up there, and I did text the mayor and I said, you did a great job managing that meeting. You know, the thing is that I like her, and it's hard for me to fight with somebody that I actually like and have believed in. And I think she's passionate, I'm passionate. We just have to figure out how to, because I think we both want to go in the same direction. We just have to figure out how to get to the destination. This is not about like Trump or, you know, Republican, Democrat. This is literally like, what do we want to do and how do we govern together as a body? So you think there's hope?
I do think there's hope. And I think if people can eliminate ego from the conversation, then I think it can move in the right direction. I do believe that your celebrity has kind of overshadowed their desire to like be the topic of conversation all the time. But it's like, just ride the wave of your celebrity, and that can help move the city in a direction that it didn't have the power to move in before. So she doesn't, I don't want to say who, but I don't think they should feel like they're in your shadow, as opposed to they should feel like they're working with you and you're able to bring resources to the city that would not have been brought there without that attention that you bring.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the deal. I'm not even trying to overshadow anybody. I'm just showing up and being my true authentic self. I've said to everybody, including the mayor, just ride the wave. Everything I do, I would be saying my vice mayor, the vice mayor I appointed, my vice mayor. I won't take objection to it because I am her vice mayor. She did appoint me. Mm-hmm. I think for me, there's no ego in the work, but there is absolutely a desire to maintain my integrity and the oath. I mean, I don't know. It's just like something in me. When I say I'm going to do something, I got to do it. And when I swear I'm not going to do stuff, I'm not going to do it. I guess in politics, that's just not the way it works. Okay. Well, anyway, speaking of politics, let's get to it. The Tea with Jason Lee. All right, Donald Trump has been taking over the airwaves every single day since he's been in office. I'm going to tell you one thing. If this was an episode of The Apprentice, Donald, you're fired. Because you are doing way too much. After 43 days, Congress voted to reopen the federal government, funding it through January 30th. Now, last Sunday, Senate Democrats caved to Republicans to end the longest shutdown in U.S. history. On Wednesday, the House followed and passed the bill. And this is the big, beautiful bill that everybody is saying is the big, ugly bill. Now, after a 13-day pause on SNAP benefits, Trump agreed to issue full payments within 24 hours of shutdown end. And Trump previously had the Supreme Court block two federal court orders demanding full payments to 42 million Americans. So just let that resonate. The president of the United States went to the courts to say, let Americans starve. The president that y'all voted for. Now, Senate Democrats caught a lot of backlash by everybody, including me and Rob, after caving to the GOP and leaving affordable health care, otherwise known as Obamacare, low premiums, Medicare, Medicaid at risk. And Bernie Sanders, who you know has been holding us down over there at the Senate, said it was a, quote, very, very bad vote. And California Governor Gavin Newsom called the move pathetic. Now, after everything, Ply said that MAGA maniacs would vote for Trump over Kamala again. Look.
Hey, just real quick. I just seen it on the news, but they was interviewing somebody, and the lady, she was crying and, you know, just talking about, you know, how she gonna feed her kids and, you know, took the SNAP away from her. And I'm a very empathetic person, for sure. But I've been telling myself this the last couple of days. I said, man, you know, the only people that I'm really sympathizing with right now, who's experiencing, you know, high grocery prices and SNAP being taken away and trying to figure out how they're gonna feed their kids and, you know, waiting in the long lines in the airport, you know, 3-4 hours. And the only people that I'm really sympathizing and empathizing with is the motherfuckers who didn't vote for this. who didn't vote for him. I ain't no motherfucker for this, who didn't vote for him. Them the only, the other 70 some motherfucking million people. I'm not motherfucking sympathetic for that. And I'm gonna tell you why I feel that way. Because I believe with everything in me, if this country had to redo this same goddamn election that happened 11 months ago, I believe with everything in me, these motherfuckers would do the same thing again. And the reason that I say that is because they hate that motherfucking black woman more than they hate what they're currently going through right motherfucking now. They hate her more than what they currently motherfucking going through right now. And I believe that with everything in me. And for me to believe that and to feel that motherfucker, see, you tricked me. This motherfucker, this country, I was motherfucking optimistic. I think that's the right word. I didn't think this motherfucker, I just didn't think this country was who I motherfucking thought it was. It tricked me, but it'll never motherfucking trick me again. And by me understanding that, I feel the way that I motherfucking feel.
I mean, do you agree with that? I don't think that people would vote for, do I think they would vote for Donald Trump over Kamala again? Yeah, because y'all hate black women. Damn. Right?
Yep. They absolutely would do this over again.
At first I was going to say, would they vote for him again? Anybody in their right mind would not vote for him again, but y'all need a white man to vote for. Right?
They did it the last time. We saw his policies affect people in the same way the last time. We saw his policies destroy the farmers community the last time. And those same people still voted for him again because they would rather vote for their own demise and their own suffering than to vote for a black woman.
Yeah, but Barack Obama got two terms and he was a black man, but it was because he's a man.
I think partly because he's a man, and I think there was a big shift in this country when a lot of conservative people saw a black person in a position that they did not believe.
Wait, conservative, you're saying white?
I largely, yes. I believe they saw that black man in that position and they felt like he didn't deserve to be there. In fact, they saw him in that position and they were able to spin in their own mind that his term as president was a failure, when every statistic about his term as president, his two terms as president, show that the economy was flourishing, but they still convinced themselves that it was failing and that he was a failed president, which is crazy to me.
Well, I would say as an elected official and somebody who's a person of color, like that doesn't see, I've never seen color division, or like I never look at a group and say, oh, you're white or you're Asian or you're Mexican or Latino or whatever. I just love people, and I love people being able to have opportunities. So my mind's not programmed to say that certain people deserve and certain don't, or I'm better than whatever. I would say as an elected official, it gets really frustrating when the amount of time you have to fight for what's right for people that look like me who just deserve it, just basic decency and opportunity. When you look at advertising in our industry and how, you know, there's just an irregularity in how people get dollars. But this is interesting that you all would probably vote for Trump over Kamala Harris again. Now, before House Democrats voted to end Trump's second government shutdown, they released new Jeffrey Epstein emails referencing the president. Now, in three emails, fresh out the inboxes of Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and author Michael Wolff, Epstein claimed that, of course, Trump knew about his relationships with underage girls and that the former president spent hours at his house. Look, I want you to realize that that dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Virginia spent hours at my house with him. He has never once been mentioned, police chief, etc. I'm 75% there. And then, wait, and then go back. And then Ghislaine replied and said, I've been thinking about that. Is that the cover up?
Yeah, he's saying that the dog that isn't barking is Trump. And the dog isn't barking because the dog is familiar with what's going on. Like, he's not saying anything because he's probably involved.
Oh, well, if a dog hits, let it holler. Trump reacted, claiming Democrats are doing anything to deflect on the shutdown. Look, the Democrats are trying to bring up the Jeffrey Epstein hoax again because they'll do anything at all to deflect on how badly they've done on the shutdown and so many other subjects. Only a very bad or stupid Republican would fall into that trap. The Democrats cost our country $1.5 trillion with their recent antics of viciously closing our country while at the same time putting many at risk. and they should pay a fair price. There should be no deflections to Epstein or anything else, and any Republicans involved should be focused only on opening up our country and fixing the massive damage caused by the Democrats. In other words, the Democrats are using the Jeffrey Epstein hoax to try and deflect from their massive failures, in particular their most recent one, the shutdown. Well, it was a Trump shutdown, Trump, because you have the House, the Senate, and you have the White House and the Supreme Court. So it's a Republican shutdown. But one thing Trump is good at is marketing. He knows how to create a message. He can tell a pig to eat bacon and they would find bacon as a good meal product, right? Is that crazy?
It's crazy. And he tried this tactic before by saying that the whole Epstein situation was a hoax and it did not go over well with his base. But he's at a point where I feel like he's cornered and he just doesn't have any, he has no other direction to go. Calling it a hoax again can't fare well for him.
What percentage of America would drink a juice product by Donald Trump and die if he told him that it was wine?
I can't even guess that percentage, but I'm sure it would be a large percentage.
Well, because when you think about Jim Jones and how he killed all those people with Kool-Aid, I mean, he had them feed their kids Kool-Aid, pour Kool-Aid in their mouths, lay down, go to sleep, and just all die. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do y'all that are TikToking and watching Kai Cenat know about the was it massacre? What was it called?
Let me see. Which
one? I know it was Jim Jones, but what was it called? They called it something. You look it up. Our other researcher, Marina, is not in Croatia, or she's in Cabo, somewhere with a C. She's somewhere, she just ain't at work. She didn't call out like Trump in the, you know.
Jonestown, sorry.
Jones what?
Is it Jonestown? Yeah.
Okay, Jonestown.
Yeah.
You need to be a better researcher. Jonestown, do your research, Google it. There's actually documentary news stories on this. Like all these people, it's like, how many people died in that? There were like hundreds of people, little kids and family members that died because they drank the Kool-Aid. Some of y'all out there getting cavities from all this Kool-Aid that you're drinking. And you need to fix that. Do you have a note? Do you know how to type? How many words a minute do you type? Jesus Christ. Can you take shorthand for the show?
918 people died as a result of the event.
918 people died as a result of drinking the Kool-Aid. They all died at the same time. How many were kids? At this point, I'm just giving Rob things to research because I need some laughter in my life following this city councilman, I tell you.
300 children.
300 children. People killed 300 of their children. Just think about that, because when you think about what's happening in this country, half of y'all have drank the Kool-Aid to the point that you're dying slow. You just ain't dying like they die, but you're dying slow because when America and Americans lose their health care. Bernie already said about 50,000 Americans are going to die a year from no health care. Now, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, who I'm sure has a big raise because she get out there. But when I tell you Caroline could wear a cross and tell you that the devil don't exist, she defended Trump in the Epstein emails. Don't believe me? We got the video. Look.
Did the president ever spend hours at Jeffrey Epstein's house with a victim?
These emails prove absolutely nothing other than the fact that President Trump did nothing wrong. And what President Trump has always said is that he was from Palm Beach and so was Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago until President Trump kicked him out because Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile and he was a creep. And this email you refer to with the name of a victim that was unredacted now and has since been reported on in this room, so I will go ahead and say it, Virginia Guffrey. And it was CBS's own reporting, Ouija, that recently wrote that Miss Guffrey maintained, and God rest her soul, that she maintained that there was nothing inappropriate she ever witnessed, that President Trump was always extremely professional and friendly to her. And so I think it's a question worth asking the Democrat Party, and you should all go ask them after this briefing, of why they chose to redact that name of a victim who has already publicly made statements about her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein is unfortunately no longer with us.
Now, I don't know this girl, and this is probably going to make you mad. Well, I don't like her, but I like how she does. She does her job well. Let me tell you what I mean. When you have somebody that get out there and say whatever you think and say, and regardless if it's fact, regardless if it's a lie, regardless if it's she could be standing in a storm and tell you that it's sunny and 82 degrees and she will believe it. She's that girl. I'm not saying she has integrity. I'm not saying she believes half the stuff she's saying. But for her to be that age and get out there and deliver it like that, like if I wasn't smart, I would believe her.
Yeah, that's the problem that I have. She's doing her job poorly because she consistently puts out misinformation.
No. You're missing the
point. No, I get the point. She's very good at spin.
But that's her job. So what I'm saying is, we're saying the same thing. She's good at her job. Her job is some bullshit, but she's good at the bullshit. The House is now preparing to vote on releasing the final files as newly sworn in Democrat Rep. Adelita Grijalva. Anyway, Adelita, hey Senator, of Arizona, signed the final petition needed to force a vote. Now, the emails got Trump so shook he held an emergency situation room meeting, and later, when he signed the order reopening the government, he kicked out the media as soon as they started asking about the Epstein emails and files. Look.
So with all of that, I just want to tell you the country has never been in better shape. We went through this short-term disaster with the Democrats because they thought it would be good politically. And it's an honor now to sign this incredible bill and get our country working again. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
Mr. President, are you prepared to negotiate with Democrats now?
Mr. President, on Jeffrey Epstein.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for knowing.
Mr. President, can you respond to these Epstein emails that were released today?
Thank you. Well done, Mr. President.
Great job.
They got them up out of there. Now, elsewhere, before Congress reopened the government, Trump proposed to pay Americans $2,000 tariff dividend checks to shrink the federal $38 trillion debt. Look. People that are against tariffs are fools. We are now the richest, most respected country in the world with almost no inflation and a record stock market price. 401ks are highest ever. We are taking in trillions of dollars and will soon begin paying down our enormous debt, $37 trillion. Record investment in the USA, plants and factories going up all over the place, a dividend of at least $2,000 a person, not including high-income people, will be paid to everyone. Without tariffs, we have none of the following, just posted truth. President Donald J. Trump. He's going on and on to say he's going to give low and middle income USA citizens $2,000. Now, what he's going to do is hope that he can get this money. He said, I saw in a report, he doesn't know where he's going to get it, but he'll sign the checks himself so people think Daddy Trump gave him $2,000. And all this they went through will be worth it. Right.
Yeah, that's his goal. But I mean, they also said that they were going to give people Doge dividends. I think that was $5,000 per person. Right. Those checks never went out. So I don't know. I don't know where this money's going to come from, because just last week he said there was not enough money. He said that the country was too poor to fund SNAP. So but now all of a sudden he has enough money to pay everybody $2,000 dividend checks from tariffs. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, Trump continued to double down on his proposal with reporters. Look,
we're going to issue a dividend to our middle income people and lower income people of about $2,000. And we're going to use the remaining tariffs to lower our debt. We're going to be lowering our debt, which is a national security thing. So we're doing a lot of good work. And the numbers were reported so incorrectly. The real numbers are trillions of dollars have been taken in or gotten in terms of investment from the tariffs. And so if that were ever reversed, it would be a disaster. It would, frankly, be a national security problem for our country. And nobody thinks it's going to be reversed. I think we had a very good court case. As you know, it's before the Supreme Court right now. But if that were ever reversed, you know, people are saying, oh, it's $1 billion. Some people said, oh, it's $2 billion. Well, that obviously we can handle very easily. But this is trillions of dollars we're talking about in terms of the tariff income and all the investment income that's come into our country.
Can y'all let me know when you see the money? And just know that if you do get the money, it came from the government, not from Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this ever going to change?
In 3 years.
Do you ever like think about what part of the world you want to live in?
Yes, I've been like fantasizing about
this. Other than America?
Yeah.
Like where would you live?
I don't know. I've been like fantasizing about where I could go, because wherever I go, I want it to have like adequate like infrastructure. I don't want to be worried about like, is my water going to be cut off? Am I going to get sick from brushing my teeth? Yeah. I don't know.
How would we run Hollywood Unlocked from the Philippines? Could we?
Yes. I mean, it's a digital age. I think, of course, that's possible.
But how would the Jason Lee show exist? Virtually?
He's got to build a set there.
Who going to come? Cardi B got to come sit on my couch in the Philippines?
Well, you could fly in to do interviews. I think you would have to like block out interviews over the course of like.
It would have to be like, I'm going to knock out 8 in a week.
Yeah.
And just do back to back.
Exactly.
And then have 2 months of content.
Yep.
While I go swimming in Bangkok. Is Bangkok over there? It's Thailand.
Yeah,
that's Thailand. Why I say the Philippines? I'm mixing up my countries. Either way, it's tropical, beautiful, and cheaper.
Yeah, but also, again, when I was in Bangkok, I was floating down the floating markets, and they were washing the dishes in the river.
Oh, I don't have to eat in public.
And then the neighbor was taking a bath in the same water.
Okay, so I can't do that.
The restaurant washing dishes.
Yeah, but maybe the neighborhood you were in ain't the one I would be in.
It was the floating markets in Bangkok. Listen. I'm not saying it's like that everywhere.
Okay, Phuket.
Phuket was beautiful and great.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You've been there? So should yeah. I go? Would I like it?
Yeah.
What would I? Because I love the water and boats and all that.
Yachts. Yeah, but they also have like the ladyboy shows there is a big thing. So I'm just saying to say it's a lot. It's a culture shock. But the massages are the best.
Okay. First of all, I'm not going to Thailand just to see trans. Like, that's not why I would be going. I want to get on yachts. I want to go in the water. It has nice blue water, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
By the way, I don't like Thai massages when they jump on your back with their toe knuckles.
It was so good.
Yeah, well, I can do without that. Well, Trump, do better. The Bible says when you know better, do better. Do you know that you could do better? Do you think if I met Trump, do you think I could talk sense into him?
No.
You don't think I could sit down and say, look, this is what we need in Stockton?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
We should call it Robert F. Kennedy. He was here. Okay.
I don't want to say anything.
Let's move on because I'm in the government. Bye. All right. Coco Austin, Ice-T, and Chanel are in the news. What a beautiful family. Well, Coco Austin is again defending her breastfeeding. Her and her husband, Ice-T's 9-year-old daughter, Chanel, until the age of 6 years old. Now, Coco isn't a mother who's ever shied away from clapping back at a mom shamer. In 2020, Coco had no shame in her game about breastfeeding her then 4-year-old kid. Look, at this point in nursing, it's just for comfort. And believe me, the girl loves meat. So it's not like she isn't eating real food. Thank you to all that understand my view. I see most of you are so eager to side with me. And I, too, root for you in your journey as well. Us moms are connected with a heart. Well, at the time, Ice-T defended his wife's breastfeeding. And at the time, he said that it was a way for Chanel to get close to her mom. Then in August 2021, Coco continued getting slammed as she continued breastfeeding her then 5-year-old. She told this to Us Weekly. Chanel still likes my boobs. It's a big bonding moment for a mother and your child. Why take that away from her? If she doesn't want it, all right. That's where you stop it. But I'm not just going to say no. Is that normal when you're 5 years old to still be sucking breast milk?
I don't think it's normal, but
like you're going to kindergarten and doing arts and crafts with Toby and then you're going home and sucking titty.
I don't think it's normal, but I think there are studies that show like if breastfeeding beyond what is considered normal has health benefits for both the child and the mother. So
Google what's normal for breastfeeding age. What is that?
Let me see. I think it says beyond, let's see.
Beyond 3?
No.
2? 5 is just, 5 just seems, can you just read it, please? Because we have a show to
do. No, because it's not giving an answer. After 6 months, continuing breastfeeding alongside the introduction of solid foods. It says 6 months is the normal time that people
6 stop. Years.
But
6 years.
But it also says that if you continue breastfeeding beyond a year or two, that it reduces the risk of breast cancer in the mother and there are health benefits to the child.
So we go to 16?
I don't know about 16. Well,
2 days later after this 5-year-old was getting breastfed, Ice-T again defended his wifey. Now, he took to social media and made some things clear. This is what he tweeted. He said, newsflash, we feed Chanel food. She just likes to suck mom's boobs every now and then. Me too. Good way to make it about you, Ice-T. First of all, I like Ice-T. He just older now. He's been talking to his since he was young and reckless. Well, 7 days later, Coco again defended herself and told E! News Daily Pop this. I just don't believe society says they should stop it too. You as a mother should stop because they said so. I'm not going to stop because I feel like it's a great bonding experience between her and I. She's my only child. It's not like I have a big family of kids, and so I'm savoring every moment with this child. Should we be talking about breastfeeding and savoring in the same conversation? It's kind of like, I don't know.
I think that's the problem. I think people have a natural tendency to start sexualizing things in their mind.
A five-year-old can pack a lunch pill.
But they're not
like
thinking.
If you're packing a lunch pail and trading garbage pail kids at school, you should not be sucking titty milk.
Why not?
Why? Get a bottle at least.
I mean, suck titty milk over sucking cow milk.
Eat steak. Do five-year-olds eat steak?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they can eat solid foods.
But if you're eating solid foods, why are you sucking titty milk?
For the health benefits.
I just think you're too damn big. And some five-year-olds are big now. Five-year-olds will be looking like high school students. Well, 4 years after addressing the criticism over breastfeeding, her then five-year-old daughter, Coco, reveals her daughter stopped breastfeeding at age 6. And she's not ashamed. While appearing on Bunny XO's Dumb Blonde podcast, Coco said this, listen.
Like, that's what she doesn't understand, why she can't go to a club. When we do really go to the club, like, yeah, when we have like date nights and we go out, she can't understand. Well, what's the difference? You guys take me out anyway. Yeah. And so there's some separation anxiety that she has when I leave her. Yeah. I kind of have, I do too. You know, still to this day, I breastfed for 6 years. So the whole concept of the breastfeeding thing, it wasn't like I was feeding her because she needed a meal.
Right.
She was able to eat, you know, by a year, you know, mm-hmm. full, like, solids. It was more of a bonding experience, and the more of like, okay, I'll give you the milk, but it was more like she wanted to be around me. So I was like, I'm gonna let her stop when she wants to stop. Mm. She's not gonna be 16 on my boob,
right?
Like, she's gonna eventually figure out, okay, this is kind of strange or weird, and stop. And that happened right around 6.
No,
so that was around 6, which was still an extremely long amount of time apparently, but in Europe they're doing till 7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, it's nothing to them. Americans think that's weird, but
I don't think there's really anything wrong with it. It's your home, you
right.
know, so it's whatever you
right.
guys are doing, and it's right. she's not feeling weird about it. You're
right.
not feeling weird. It's not a weird thing. I think us as a world, we sexualize everything,
mm-hmm.
and it's not.
And it was mostly when she went to sleep, she wanted me to be there. So it was more of like
a comfort
thing mm-hmm. with her. But I got so many people that loved it. Like, they were on my side.
Mm-hmm.
I had everybody come out of the woodwork yeah. when it comes to breastfeeding ladies. They were like so on my side, and I was like, oh, this is so nice, because uh-huh. I was the only one speaking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is it so hard? Like, people have been doing this for thousands of years.
Because
and
the world shames everybody for everything.
Like, it's not a big thing. It's mm-hmm. the boob.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So to this day, though, she's obsessed with boobs.
No, oh, I bet.
She loves boobs. I think she's like, she's always very comforted. She's like his pillows and stuff like yeah. that. So she's like always sitting there laying on me. And then it's just a really nice moment, because it's like, it's not going to be like this. And when they get into the teenage years, you know?
So yeah.
I'm like loving every moment I can with Chanel.
Just eat it up. You're a great mom. You're a great mom.
Thank you.
You're a great wife. You are an icon. And please don't ever let anything these motherfuckers say online ever get to you.
I mean, her body, her choice. Ultimately, Coco, it's your body. It's your family. It's your daughter. 6 months, 6 years, 16. I mean, it's a slippery slope. That 6 is just slippery.
I think it's fine. 16, I think, is a little too much. 6, fine.
6.
Yeah.
I want, most of you are women that follow me, please go and educate me in the comments. 6 years too old to be sucking boob milk. Oh, no. All right. Well, go sip some iced tea. Right? Like, you're 5. You can drink iced tea. You can drink cocoa. You could drink milk.
I think breast milk is probably healthier for her.
Is it coconut?
It's cocoa.
Anyway, bye. By the way, Coco, you're beautiful. All right. Well, Wendy is cleared by the neurologist. So y'all tried to say my girl had dementia. Well.
Allegedly.
No, y'all said it. Let me give you your flowers, Wendy. Those are your flowers, Wendy, for getting your things in order. Well, what you know? According to a neurologist, Wendy Williams does not have frontotemporal dementia and aphasia. In 2023, Wendy was first diagnosed with the conditions, but she's consistently denied being mentally incapacitated, demanding out of her highly restrictive guardianship, which was established in 2022 and is overseen by court-appointed guardian Sabrina Morrissey. Sabrina, you know I was on your ass, so you know I know your name. I interviewed Wendy. You remember that. If not, I'm sure I'll get to it in a second. Well, in the latest fight to free Wendy, a neurologist has determined that she does not actually have frontotemporal dementia and aphasia. After undergoing a series of tests in New York. Now, according to TMZ, results were submitted to her legal team late last month, and numerous experts claim patients with Wendy's diagnosis never improve and only get worse. However, she's been demonstrating remarkable neurological resilience since becoming sober 3 years ago. Now, despite this, Wendy's guardianship persists. Now, subsequently, her legal team will begin taking steps to terminate the guardianship in the next 2 weeks. Shouldn't she be able to walk out the door right now?
Yes. And I think on top of walking out of the door, they should investigate every single test that was provided before. They need to look into everything that happened under this guardianship. And I think there needs to be a lawsuit on her behalf for the time lost with her family and her independence and all the money that's been spent out.
Yeah, because they said she spent like $25,000 or something a month or something crazy. Or 18,000, I can't remember the numbers, and saying, well, her lawyer, Joe, reportedly intends on demanding a trial by jury in which he will ask jurors to end the guardianship if the judge shuts down their initial request. I mean, again, she should have been freed a long time ago. We see you, Wendy, popping out here and there. I checked in with her niece yesterday and understand that Wendy's okay. I've asked her to have Wendy call me because I haven't talked to her in a while. And last time I was in New York, we were trying to meet up, but we just couldn't find the time. And Wendy, you know, we've been trying our best to follow the story and share where we can, and we're sharing now. And look, for those of you that are posting and sharing hashtag Free Wendy, share this clip so that way people understand what's really happening, because it's really sad in today's world with the media, with government, and with situations like this where people's basic human rights are being violated, because that's sort of what this is. And it seems like Sabrina did this for a money grab. I'll say allegedly.
Allegedly.
But I mean, it doesn't seem like you have her best interest at heart if she had to go get this neurological test to make a determination for her to get out. Do you ever wonder about getting older and what's going to happen with you? Like, who's going to take care of you, being that we're both lonely and single and don't have kids?
I do. It's unfortunate. I didn't tell you, like, I went through a whole thing last week with my father because he's in a care facility. And if you have an elderly person or a family member in a care facility, you really have to call and check on them, because these people do not care. They really don't take care of these
people. Wait, so he's not with your mom?
My mother is at home, but he's in a care facility because he can't take care of himself independently, and he needs a lot of assistance. And
wait,
he needs,
so she goes and visits him?
Yeah, so she goes up there. But
wait, so they're living apart?
Yeah.
Were they separated before?
No.
Oh, so he's just there because he needs the care?
Yeah.
Isn't that taxing on the family?
It is. Yeah. It is. And like, literally, I called my father and the nurse didn't know I was on the phone, and she was cursing at my father.
What?
Yes. So it's a
What's
whole
her name?
It's a whole thing right now. She's
Where's she at?
She was like, because he was like literally having he was having like a medical emergency where he was like felt like he needed to rush to the emergency room, which ended up happening because we had to call 911. But the nurse was like, what the F do you want? I'm effing busy. I got a lot of people here. And
she said,
do you want a Tylenol? And then she walked out of the room. So we had to call 911, and the paramedics took him to the emergency room.
Please tell me she ain't one of us.
One of us. And this is... And
I knew by the neck roll what it was. I knew what it was.
Imagine if you don't have a... Like you said, if we grow old and there's nobody to kind of monitor us or help, what could happen? Like, it's crazy.
We should start a site where you just go and find somebody to be your forever person. At this point, it's just about matching to live together. You know, rents have, you got somebody there for the TV dinner. Damn. I need to hurry up and make more money so that way I don't have challenges, because it really is money and then healthcare. You saw what we said about the healthcare. Damn, I didn't know. Well, I'm sorry to hear that about your dad. You need to get a picture of that woman so we can put it on the show.
I'll work on it.
Did you find her Instagram?
No, but I can get it.
Get it. Do your thing, TikTok. Well, Wendy, we pray for you. We love you. We hope all is well. You still look good. And damn, I wish you were on TV right now. There's so much going on. We needed Wendy right there to say, grab a snack and come on back. Right?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Come on back, Wendy. Bye. All right. Paris Jackson is in the news. First, I'm going to give her a round of applause because she's being vulnerable.
And we rarely see this level of access and vulnerability into the Jackson world. Now, this is Michael Jackson's daughter. For those of you living under a rock, her name is Paris Jackson. Well, she's defending her choice to share a graphic video of her perforated septum from years of drug abuse. Now, earlier this week, the 27-year-old Paris went on social media and talked about her six-year sobriety while showing a hole in her nose from past drug use. Look.
Also, I realize I have never actually addressed this, and it can sometimes be very noticeable. I have a really loud whistle. If you go back to videos, you can hear it when I breathe through my nose. And that is because I have what is called a perforated septum, slightly different from a deviated septum. And that is, it's what you think it's from. Don't do drugs, kids. Or, I mean, do. I mean, you know, everyone's going to have the experience they need to have with life. I'm not going to tell anyone what to do, but I don't recommend it because it ruined my life. I don't want to get plastic surgery to fix it because I'm almost 6 years sober, and so you have to take pills when you do a surgery that gnarly, and I don't want to fuck with that. But I've been living with this since I was about 20, and it's a bitch when you're in the studio coughing vocals, and I can actually stick a spaghetti noodle and do that with it.
We didn't need the visual, Paris. By the way, you're still gorgeous as hell. 27, I feel old. Mm-hmm. I feel like you were just born last week. Well, not last week. 27. Damn, she's very pretty, and I love your vulnerability. And I've never met. I did meet Paris once. She when I used to live at the apartment building from where Equinox is.
Yeah, yeah.
I came out one day and went across the street to that. Remember, Walgreens used to be on the corner on Sunset and Vine, yeah. And she was like walking by randomly. I was like, "Hey, Paris Jackson." She was like, "Hey," very, very, very short. She was never going to remember. But you know, to see her all grown up now and to see you be so vulnerable. First of all, congratulations on sobriety, because I think more people that have a platform like yours need to say it. Mm-hmm. I also like the fact that you didn't judge people who are going through their struggle and saying people have to go through their experiences. You didn't encourage it, but like, I know that people are going to do what they're going to do, but hoping that people choosing to go down that path come out on the other side like you. I never in my life ever did hard drugs. The most I did, I tried weed a few times, but my lungs are sensitive. And, you know, back in the day, maybe a couple pills here and there, but nothing really extensive. I drank a lot, you know, but when I think about people who are addicted to pills and now in this fentanyl world, they're putting fentanyl in blunts, like people smoking fentanyl and going to sleep and dying. So it's so dangerous. I just hope that anybody out there is listening to Paris, because she's literally trying to save your life. Now, after being, wait, back up. Have you ever done cocaine? Sorry, let me just move on. This show is too real. Everybody's had a life.
Yeah, everybody's had a life.
Well, I'm glad that you're sober. After being so vulnerable in an attempt to bring awareness to the consequences of drug use, critics called Paris out for her graphic video. However, she defended it. Leave the girl alone. Look, she said, to the people wondering why I share this, it's not for you. As a recovering heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, alcohol, etc. addict, it's part of my primary purpose to carry the message of recovery to others struggling with it. Not to promote it, but just to carry the message. If this isn't something you relate to, it's totally understandable why it would be confusing for you, and that's totally okay. It's just a different life experience. I'd be grateful for that. I just know that this is for the other people that are either also in recovery or haven't found it yet. Much love. I thought that was a great way of responding to it. I mean, critics are always going to say something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to your point earlier, the level of vulnerability she has, I think, can touch and impact people in a positive way. And her being able to, like you said, say, do what you're going to do, but just, you know, I recommend not doing it. Like, I think that's great. And I think people judging her for opening up is just ridiculous.
And look, when I wrote my book, God Must Have Forgotten About Me, and I talk a lot about my stories. You know, one of the stories that was one of the most vulnerable, and there's lots of them in there, was my own child molest story. I think there were two instances that I put in there. And so for me, when I even look at how I behaved at the city council meeting, I don't want to be that guy, but like, my triggers are my triggers, mm-hmm. right? And so when you've gone through something traumatic like that, something traumatic like what Paris has gone through, and then you become an advocate for
people who you want to avoid going down that path, or somebody who's defending or protecting kids. Like, I understand why you tell the story in the midst of all the criticism, because you have to. Paris, we appreciate you. We need more of you. And please don't put no spaghetti in your nose, because I think if we get a 911 call of you putting too much spaghetti up your nose and us having to call out 911 and the ambulance for that, you're going to look like a fool. All right. Good luck on the music. Bye. Speaking of music, hold on a second. Take that, take that. Why do you hate Diddy so much?
I don't hate Diddy.
By the way, this is my shade cam. Rob doesn't get one. Why do you hate Diddy so much?
I don't hate Diddy. I hate a lot of his behaviors, and I told you I had my own personal experience with him. I'm just not a fan. I don't hate him.
Well, Diddy's getting busted left and right in prison, allegedly.
Allegedly.
He's allegedly been caught with homemade alcohol in his unit and participated in a prohibited three-way call. Now, he's got a new mugshot since being transferred from Brooklyn MDC to FCI, Fort Dix in New Jersey. Take a look. Some of y'all say he looked like a cross between Sandman and Santa Claus. Well, in the alcohol report, TMZ said a reliable source told them officials found a prison-made alcoholic drink in his unit. Now, made from two-week fermented Fanta sugar and apples. Now, the report arrived just weeks after Diddy told the judge that he's been sober for the first time in 25 years. Diddy and his team also begged the judge to let him serve his 50-month sentence in the New Jersey prison he's currently at, FCI Fort Dix. Now, at Fort Dix, Diddy's been enrolled in the prison's residential drug abuse program. If successfully completed, it would shave about 12 months off his prison sentence. Now, despite TMZ insisting their sources' knowledge is 100% true, Diddy's PR rep denies it. This is what the publicist said. Mr. Combs is in his first week at FCI Fort Dix and is focused on adjusting, working on himself, and doing better each day. As with any high-profile individual in a new environment, there will be many rumors and exaggerated stories throughout his time there. Most of them are untrue. We ask that people give him the benefit of the doubt, the privacy to focus on his personal growth and grace and purpose. Yeah, I think Diddy should get that opportunity, right, to grow. It's interesting because Diddy was starting his sobriety before he went in, when he was on the whole love, the Brother Love movement. Do you think the Brother Love movement was because he knew all this other stuff was going to come out?
I think so.
You do?
Yeah.
Wasn't no love there?
Mm-mm. Because we saw him immediately after lie on camera about all the, and I never did anything to her. He lied right on camera. If you were about...
Then apologize. Who told him to apologize?
Exactly.
I'd have been like, that's AI. Because in AI, I could make a video of you beating up Johnny.
That's true.
Right?
But I'm sure they can test it.
All right. Well, Diddy's rep posted this on X Count. The rumors claiming Mr. Combs was caught with alcohol are completely false. His only focus is becoming the best version of himself and returning his family. Let me first of all give you a round of applause if that's what you're doing. We're not in jail with you, so we don't know what's happening. You could be sipping on that Zerp, or have a little DeLeon or, Ciroc in the corner. Well, the same day Diddy's rep denied his hooch drinking report, CBS News said a prison document showed Diddy facing disciplinary action for an unauthorized three-way phone call. Diddy allegedly called a woman who then added a man to the call against prison rules. And he reportedly told officials he called his attorney, who then called his head of legal communications to work on an approved statement for the New York Times. He allegedly claimed that he was never told the phone rules and never received the prison's admission and orientation handbook. Despite his excuses on Diddy's 56th birthday, prison officials recommended he lose 90 days of phone call privileges and 90 days of commissary privileges for the infraction. And it's also been reported that Diddy's release has been pushed back from May 2028 to June 2028 due to his newest reported infractions. Why does that make you happy to see a black
man? It doesn't make me happy.
Rob, I know you for 20 years. You want to giggle so bad.
It doesn't make me happy.
Why are you laughing?
Because I feel like there's some holes in this story. I truly believe that he knew, but he just... was trying to assert his privilege. And I don't think he'll do it anymore. I think this is a huge punishment for him. I can't imagine what it feels like to go from living a lavish life to now being in prison. Like, day to every single day has to be hell. So I do believe that he's being humbled, but I don't believe he didn't know the rules.
I mean, maybe he didn't get the handbook in English. I mean, things happen. Well, Diddy, I hope you're working on yourself. When he gets back, he gonna burn these streets up. Some of y'all, I don't know where Kid Cudi's cars are, but
I hope he comes back completely.
I do too.
Rehabilitated, and he's not trying to blow cars up, and he's not beating people up. I hope he comes back, and he really is focused on allegedly. Yeah, I hope he comes back, and he's really focused on like his growth and his family. I think that'll be great for him.
Yeah. Do you think he'll be back with Young Miami?
If she waits, is she waiting?
Do they ever? They may. By the way, okay, bye, Diddy. By the way, I don't want to admit this in public, but I will. I'm becoming a little obsessed with Megan Thee Stallion and Klay Thompson. Right?
Yes.
Give a round of applause. Right?
Yep.
This one might last.
Yep.
But not because he's cute or she's fine or that. I really like the way he treats her. Mm-hmm. And I like the way he defends her. We don't even have this in the teleprompter today, but I was just thinking about it. I saw some guys kind of talking shit about her, called her a pussy, or referred to her as a pussy on a show. And Klay read them in the most nice, respectable manner, like a man. And he's it's interesting because, you know, you go through all the ugly ducklings. Tori, I'm not calling you an ugly duckling. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, you go through all the wrong people thinking you're never going to find the right person. Sort of like me and you, how we think, like, oh, we're just going to settle for whoever knocks on the door with that Little Caesars pizza delivery. Mm-hmm. And then you find somebody that makes you better. They're in the gym working out together. I mean, they look good as a couple together. She looks happy. He's protecting her. Klay, don't fuck it up. That's all I'm going to say. Don't fuck it up. And Megan, you have a 2-drink maximum when you go out, and don't you get that old Henny bottle. And Kalan, who I know loves you and has your back, Kalan, don't, you know, keep it cute, because I am here for it. I'm here for it. And I'm glad to see somebody happy, especially in hip hop, where some relationships are just so toxic and negative. And Blueface, why are you back on? Blueface, the circus. Y'all put me on a flyer to host your welcome home party. Y'all did not clear that with me, and I am not hosting a welcome home from prison party for Blueface. Okay, but anyway, shout out to Klay and shout out to Megan. Okay, all right, Kim Kardashian. Now, you're in the acting world. She got a 0%. Not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. 0% on Rotten Tomatoes for this new project. Now, although she's failed the bar exam, I think, a few times in real life, she plays a successful lawyer on Hulu's new show, scripted show, All's Fair. But what ain't fair? This rating. I know it got to be at least a 1%. Critics are not feeling the new legal drama. This Ryan Murphy created show features Kim, Teyana Taylor, Niecy Nash, friend to the award show, Betts, Glenn Close, Naomi Watts, and Sarah Paulson, and more. These are superstars. She's a mega star. She's not a mega actress star. And Teyana Taylor is becoming a real actress. I mean, she is a real actress, but that girl's on multiple red carpets with different sets of hair and all types of clothes with different patterns. And she's doing it. Tiana's doing it. But Kim ain't doing enough. Now, Skims is worth $5 billion now because you just took in $500 million or whatever you raised to get there. I don't know. I don't pocket watch, but you know, you are $1.9 billionaire, allegedly. But it still didn't get you a tomato. Not even a rotten tomato. I can go to the store right now at Pavilions and get me a tomato. I can go over there to Save Mart. Even Food for Less in Stockton got tomatoes. You couldn't find one rotten tomato. You know our friend Anthony Hemingway directed this. Did you know that?
No.
Did you go to his birthday party with me or no?
I don't think
Anthony Hemingway had the 90s party, the Gucci 90s party on the top of the Roosevelt Hotel. It was fabulous.
No, I wasn't there yet.
I went with Lee and Joelle and Tiffany. I can't remember. I thought you were there. It was fabulous. Anthony directed this. Well, the series follows Kim Kardashian as a lawyer named Allura Grant as she helms a LA law firm. Now, Grant
Ronson Green and Associates, the name of the firm, along with Liberty Ronson, played by Naomi Watts, and Emerald Green, played by Niecy Nash-Betts. Now, the firm specializes in divorce law for women, which Kim knows about, regularly clashes with their longtime rival, Carrington Lane, played by Sarah Paulson. Now, despite all of these heavy-hitting stars, the show debuted with a shockingly low score of 0%, with only 5 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Take a look. Tomato meter, 5 reviews, 0%. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Should they at least gotten 99 tomatoes?
It's complicated.
Explain.
Well, the show itself, I would say, is good. It's very interesting. It's beautiful, beautifully shot. Ryan Murphy.
He's a genius.
Yeah, he's great. He's going to come up with a powerful show. And I think the premise of the show and the way it focuses on women's empowerment and how they really focus on female clients and empowering each other as females is great. The performances, I think it's difficult to put a person who's not an actor as the lead of a show next to Sarah Paulson, Glenn Close, and Niecy Nash. It's like you're setting her up to not look like she's great.
Okay, let me also say this. Kim Kardashian, as much as I love you, and I know people think I don't love you because, put that picture back up. People think I don't love Kim Kardashian. I do love Kim Kardashian. You are a bad BZ. You are a boss. You turned a lemon into a franchisable lemonade store. You are gorgeous. And I'm going to tell you right now, she look good right there. But up in close in person, when you sit from this distance like I have with no makeup on, she's beautiful as shit. Okay. She shouldn't be standing in the middle of all them actresses. Yeah. You're setting her up to fail.
It's a setup.
And they said her performance was flat.
It's okay. The person who plays her fiance on the show.
Is he gorgeous?
Yes. His name is Matthew Nazca or something. He blew up.
The white boy?
Yes.
The blonde?
Yes.
I met him at Evan Ross' house. Fine.
His performance is so strong. And he's playing her lover on the show. And they have this huge fight scene. And it's just his level of skill next to hers just makes it harder for you to digest her performance because he's just so much better.
He's a real actor, too.
Yeah, he's so talented. And Naomi Watts, it's just all
of
these.
Did they have a love scene?
Not him and her. But
did he have one with somebody?
Wait, they did. Well, yeah, he does.
With the man?
I don't want to tell who because he's going to spoil it. No. Uh-huh. Well, kind of, yeah. But I don't want to spoil too much. Can I tell you?
You're spoiling it. They got zero tomatoes. Nobody's watching it.
Well, he's cheating on Kim Kardashian with
Niecy?
No, with Teyana Taylor, who is the assistant at the law firm. But then he gets...
Okay, so there's some tea here in this scandal.
Yeah.
But it's just when you watch it, it's hard to watch because it's so badly done.
But then the real crazy part is he is also cheating on Teyana Taylor with a trans woman. Who he's in love with.
What's his name again? Matthew?
Matthew.
Matthew, when I saw you at Evan Ross' house, I knew I should have shot my shot at you. He's really gorgeous, by the way. But I don't know if he's married, but he has a kid. Mm. I'm sure you follow him.
Yes.
I'm sure you've been on his Instagram, bro. We all know how you are. Well, since the 0% November 4 debut, the score has gone up to 4%. That's an increase. With 26 reviews. And hopefully after all of you watch it, go over there and give a review and say, I came here from Hollywood Unlocked. And just put what you believe it is in the rating, but then give them a high score. The silver lining, however, in that Kim K-led show has also become Hulu's biggest scripted series debut, per The Wrap. In 3 days, the show pulled in 3.2 million global views. So let me break this down with my calculator. 3.2 million views minus 26 reviews. This goes to show, I had this call today. Somebody called me and said they saw the city council stuff and they were like, we need to put you in an unscripted project immediately, whether it's a documentary, reality show, whatever. Here's what I'm saying. Most networks outside of Zeus, and this is why I love Zeus, baby. Zeus, baby. Download Zeus right now. It's so hard to sell a show.
and the process and how many hoops you have to go through and what they're looking for. And most TV shows want big celebrity names because they think it's going to be what gets them a win. This show, one season at best. Then Glenn Close goes back to shooting Instagram videos. Teyana Taylor goes back to designing a bag. Niecy Nash going to work.
She always working.
Teyana Taylor's in a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. That girl's working. Let me give you Teyana. I've known you for so long. And you got that fine-ass boyfriend, too. And you got that fine-ass baby daddy and the beautiful kids. You got everything. All you need now is a cute little girlfriend. Well, anyway, this just goes to show that you could be the biggest influencer. You could snatch your face. Your mom could even go get her face snatched and have a 70th birthday party that I wasn't invited to. And I ain't gonna lie, I'm really mad because Beyonce was there. Let me just say, Kris Jenner, you ate that birthday party. You had it. I rarely get jealous. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a jealousy type person. Like, okay, I didn't get invited to this. I didn't get invited to that. My feelings were hurt. I wasn't invited to the Kardashian Kris Jenner 70 party. Shouldn't I have been invited? I love her in my heart. I don't care what anybody says. Anyway, Kim, I wish you get a better rating than this, maybe up to like 33%, like just to get up there a little bit, right?
Yeah. I think she's doing a fair job. It's just difficult next to all of these really, really talented actors.
Let's play devil's advocate. Is this also a way to shame Kim Kardashian and as an industry saying, we reject you bringing these reality show girls in here?
It might be. I think a lot of the critics are just like, why would you cast her as the lead when you have all of these other women who are like talented, award-winning, stellar actors. But I think she can get there. She just needs a little coaching. But
she was in another Ryan Murphy project, right?
Okay, yeah.
So it's like the relationship. Plus, she's at Hulu with Keeping Up the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Listen, the Kardashians, just like they're running E!, they're probably running Hulu with that show because they got all them followers. And Kylie, I love you. You're still my favorite. Kim, you're my second favorite. Chloe, I still love you, but you owe me a call back. Chris, I know you don't like me anymore, but you're still my mom. Who else? Courtney, it don't matter.
Rob.
I already have a Rob. I love Rob. Yeah. I haven't seen Rob in years.
Y'all were like too close.
I know. Kendall, talented. They gave Kendall the same problem when she became a model. Remember how they were like, you're not a real model, da da da.
They did.
And Kendall's out there doing her thing. Anyway, shout out to Corey. I did run into Corey the other night at dinner. That was the fastest hello I think I ever seen somebody give me. He was in and out and looking thin. What up, Corey? Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Chris. All right, that's it. All right, let's just get to thoughts and prayers. I'm out of here. Well, the government is back open and the fight to release the Epstein files is back on. The Dems got Trump sweating even though they folded. But Mr. President, if you're so innocent, never knew the guy like that, why be so defensive? Why kick reporters out of the Oval for simply asking questions? Non-accusatory questions at that. No need to answer. That was rhetorical. Hell, we know the damn answer, and we just have one thing to say. Release the Trumpstein files. And while you're at it, release Wendy Williams, too, from that damn guardianship. You know, the one that she should have never been in to begin with? A neurologist has finally confirmed what she and all of us outside the courtroom knew, that our girl is there and all cylinders are working. And speaking of cylinders locking, Diddy might be hearing a lot more after reportedly having his release date pushed back. He not only got accused of some drinking and drinking moonshine behind bars, but also for making a prohibited three-way call. Now, Diddy, you know you knew better. You pleaded to the judge about being sober for the first time in 25 years and then get caught up like that?
Allegedly.
And Diddy isn't the only person on a sober journey. Paris Jackson opened up about her six-year sobriety while showing her perforated septum. A great reminder just to say no to drugs. Meanwhile, Coco Austin issued a reminder to folks about breastfeeding rules, or rather, the lack of, because there are none. You are the parent. Make the decision. So stop the mom boob shaming. Another person familiar with mom shaming is Kim Kardashian, who's got a whole new show facing some criticism of its own. Dang, why y'all do her like that? She may have failed the bar in real life, but at least she gets to play one on television, whether you like it or not. 0 to 100. Not tomatoes because she got zero. Let's let her have that. That's a wrap for this show. Listen, you can text me right now at 310-388-6463. It's 310-388-6463. Johnny, put the number up so they can read it, please. Some people can't hear. They're just watching me talk. Okay, now text me right there. All right, that's it for the Jason Lee podcast. Follow me everywhere that I am online. Follow District 6 because baby, it's going down. Bye.
The Jason Lee Podcast.